Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Well, good morning. Boy, we've had a wonderful time. I can't tell you how much I feel at home here at Faith Bible. And I also want to introduce to you, we have 8 interns from Convoy of Hope, and I wanted them to experience the Rockies, but also meet your pastor in this great church. So let's welcome them to Colorado, if they'll stand. On the end, you have Steve Fawn, who is from Jerusalem. His parents work with Hebrew University, University of the Holy Land, and City of David, excavating that. And also my son is with me this time, David Jr. So, yeah. And sometimes people come up to my son and they say, you know, you look like your dad. You have similar personality traits. Well, Faith Bible, you look like your father. Your father in heaven. You do. And you have his personality traits. His heart of compassion, generosity, and certainly his love for Israel. And so it's such an honor to fill your pulpit today and to be with you. And I'm just thrilled with what God has already set in motion. And I also want to introduce a good friend, John McIntyre, who owns the Kincaid Gallery here in the Centennial Littleton area. And I'd like for you to welcome him to Faith Bible. John, where are you? There you are. Okay.
Thank you, Dave.
John, why are you here today?
Well, I had the honor of spending several time back there with Pastor George, and I'm so thrilled with Faith Bible Chapel, how they've partnered with the Convoy of Hope. As you know, we've been just giving to people, whether it's giving to a family in need or helping somebody move, or in general giving. Man, it feels good, doesn't it? And I had the opportunity when Dave invited me to come down here and meet, I thought, boy, wouldn't it be neat to donate a painting, especially one that I had in mind, which is called Good Shepherd's Cottage. This is a Thomas Kincaid painting, which really depicts, I feel, the nature of Faith Bible Chapel. I'll unveil it for you here. We have Jesus with his arms open, embracing his flock of sheep, and I'm just thrilled over the fact that we can be a part of this whole thing being here. It took me about a 40-minute drive to get here today, and I'll tell you something right now, this won't be my only time here. I'll be back.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's give John a hand. Thank you so much for that gift to the church.
Thank you.
One day to feed the world, one day to change the world. And as a result of our offering today, where we're asking each of us to give what's equal to one day's wages that we're giving back to the Lord to feed the hungry, that we're going to see thousands upon thousands of children in America and around the globe that don't have to go to bed hungry, and they're going to awaken with hope in Jesus Christ. So today is one of those moments that's going to become a movement. But in addition, as Pastor shared, part of this offering is also going to go to launching the Hope Experience Israel, to meet the needs in Israel, but also to make sure that leaders, parishioners are making that pilgrimage to our homeland, Israel. And I'd like to ask Terry Kirk, who is a dear friend. He is the pastor of a great church in Baltimore, Maryland. We have traveled to Israel together many times. And he has a very special announcement.
Well, it's good to be with you today. And as a pastor, I know what it's like Dave was talking about the personality of the congregation. So many times as a pastor, I've heard that personality of the congregation really reflects the pastor of the church as well. So not only do you have the father's DNA there, but you have a spiritual father here whose heart for God and for people, and especially for Israel, has become really a statement in the earth. So much so that two or three months ago, we gathered as pastors in Springfield, Missouri. And we were looking at a focus of reaching into Israel through Hope Experience Israel, much like Convoy has done all over the world. And we partner with Convoy for a number of years. Dave's a friend, and I'm so glad to say that there's a young lady in this congregation today who is from our home church there. I watched her grow up. Her dad was an elder in the church there. And so it's good to have Christine with me here today. She lives in Denver. She moved here. She loves your city. Having said that, these pastors from all over the nation came together and they picked your pastor to spearhead this opportunity that God has opened up for us in Israel. So much so that, and it's an honor, he will be leading and spearheading the Convoy of Hope's and this ministry of Hope Experience Israel. So that speaks volumes to you as a congregation. It speaks volumes about your pastor and his love for Israel. And I think as we move forward, what is different about this than anything else that people have tried and many times over the years is this. It's not just one big congregation. It's not just one big ministry that goes in. Our goal is to see tens of thousands of pastors. And the strategy that we've developed has already been approved by the Prime Minister and really loves what our focus is and what we're going to be doing. Not just tens of thousands of pastors from the U.S. and all over the world, but right here in this congregation, many of you will go and bring light and life to this country in various ways and ministries. We already have people on the ground there in the country, and it's going to be a great opportunity as we go forward from here. And your offering today will be a launching point of this ministry and our focus there. And I, on behalf of Convoy of Hope, on behalf of the country and the nation of Israel, I want to say thank you for what you're about to do. God bless you. It's good to be here today.
Thanks, Terry.
As Pastor Terry mentioned, I mean, pastors all across the country, they selected your pastor to lead this movement in Israel. And this is nothing new to you. This is building upon how God's already using you, but it's going to include a lot more churches in this nation and around the world. But let's give your pastor a hand and congratulate him. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. And I got to tell you that this is a full circle for me, because the first time I went to Israel, it was at the urging of Ralph Cervantes, who was an elder of this church many years ago. And the second time I went to Israel, I went as part of a delegation from Washington, D.C. I was appointed by Tommy Thompson, the former Secretary of Health and Human Services. I served on the Commission for Substance Abuse, Mental Health. And so while in Israel, I was invited to a summit on the Jordanian-Israel border because drugs were being smuggled across the border. And so we met there in a fortified bunker with generals from both Jordan and Israel. And while I was there, the drug czar for Israel asked if I would join the group and go speak to the troops. And I said, of course. And so we took the bus over to this huge military base, and everybody was getting off the bus except me and this other gentleman, and all the military, the soldiers, both men and women, were in a formal salute. So I said to my interpreter, I said, there must be somebody pretty important on this bus. And he said, yes, that gentleman up there, he is the chief of staff for the Prime Minister. And I said, oh. So he gets ready to get off the bus, and he turns back to me, and he says, they're in a formal stance because they think you are a United States senator. So he gets off the bus. They didn't do anything. And then finally, I get off the bus, and they all go into a formal salute. And I thought, hey, why not? And so I walked up and down the line, shaking hands, fix that collar. You know, I mean, it was fun. And then they took me into this big hall to speak to all the military staff. And one gentleman says, they think that you are one of the top-level generals from the Pentagon. And I said, if I stay here any longer, I'll be president. And so I'm getting ready to get back on the bus to return to Jerusalem with many of the Knesset members, their Congress. And after shaking everybody's hands, I'm praying, Lord, I'd love to spend time with this government official, this influential man in Israel. So I get on the bus, and there's only one empty seat, and it's next to him. And so for 2.5 hours, we talked about the plight of Israel. We talked about how half the children in that nation live in poverty. Half the seniors live under the poverty line. And through that encounter, that divine encounter, God has opened door after door, including an official approval of Convoy of Hope in the nation of Israel. Give God the glory. Praise the Lord. So today there's so much at stake as we celebrate one day, which is based on a scripture in Leviticus that we'll put up on the screen. When you harvest the grain in your land, don't harvest the grain in the corners of your fields or gather what is left after you're finished. Leave it for the poor people. I am the Lord your God. And here's the principle. We are all blessed with a harvest field, the Bible says. Some of us have big harvest fields, others have small. It doesn't matter. The Bible's very clear. We are to leave the first fruits of our harvest field, our tithe, to our local church. But in addition to our tithe, we are to leave a corner of our field, our time, but also our treasure for helping the poor. So that's our offering today. God said, if you help the poor, you're lending to me. So all we're asking is saying, God, we want to lend you one day's wages. How many think that's a pretty good deal? That's what one day to feed the world is. And I'm able to stand here today because in 1969, people left a corner of their field for my family. You see, up here on the screen is my family. In 1969, my dad was a pastor in Northern California. He grew up like your pastor in New Jersey. There's my mom, my siblings, our cat Billy, our dog Buffy. But days after this photo was taken, my mom and dad were driving down the freeway and they were hit head-on by a drunk driver. My dad was killed instantly. Our mother survived, but they had to pin her body back together again so she would survive. And I'll never forget the day visiting her at the hospital with my brothers. We peered through the glass into her room, and she was so beaten up and broken, we didn't even recognize her. We thought, that can't be our mom. In fact, when she spoke my older brother's name, he collapsed to the ground right beside me because of the trauma. So there we stood. Three boys, we have a younger sister, wondering what would happen next. Where would we get food and clothing and who would take in four kids? But it was women's ministries, it was women's groups that brought us food for almost 6 months as our mother began to recover. And miraculously, my mom is still alive. And if she were here today, she would tell you that she has many gifts, but cooking is not one of them. In fact, most of the time she would use the smoke alarm as the timer. I kid you not, we had to pray before the meal and afterwards. I mean, I was quoting Jesus when he said, "You can eat deadly poison, it will not harm you." And these people were so generous, they brought us food. And the food was so delicious that when our mom began to recover, we pleaded with them to continue. The only problem is that for whatever reason, they would bring like three of one thing. We had four kids. I remember they brought, you know, three pork chops. But the two I had tasted pretty good. But in our time of need, these people left a corner. They left a corner, and now the question of who would take in four kids. And so this family that didn't have a big harvest field, they didn't have a big bank account, but they had big hearts. They said, "We'll take in these Donaldson boys and their sister." And I want to show you their home. It was a trailer. They already had two kids. And I recall walking up to this home, I was scared. I wondered, would this just be another stop along the way? Would they really want us and keep us? And as I walked up to the front door, just scared, the door swung open, and there Bill Davis stood. And he had this warm, inviting smile on his face as he gave us all big hugs. And he said, "You are with family, and this is your home." You see, that four-letter word, "with," changed our lives. Because it meant the Davises were willing to not only share their space, but they're willing to share in our sorrow, our pain, our grieving, our anger. And you see, friends, that's what compassion means. It literally means to suffer with. That's what Jesus did. He put aside the glory in heaven. He came down here on earth for 33 years. He could have just come down here for a long missions weekend to die on the cross, to rise from the grave. That was not enough. He wanted to be with you and me and to demonstrate compassion. And that's the model we follow. And the good news is this. Because this family that didn't have much decided to leave a corner. Years later, my brothers and I started Convoy of Hope, and we are now about to celebrate serving 60 million people in America and around the globe. Praise the Lord. Your corner is needed, and your corner is a solution to meeting every need through God on the face of this planet. And we want to show you a video. Open your hearts.
Food gives life. It's one of our most basic human needs. The problem is there are 1 billion people who are hungry. But together, we have the ability to change that. Now imagine how the world would look different if you could help get food from here to there, so everyone has something good to eat. There'd be no more empty stomachs, no one worrying if they can make it another day. People would be able to work, able to learn, able to care for their children, able to pursue better lives for themselves and the ones they love. We can do this. We are doing this together. With the help of thousands of individuals and organizations that have linked arms with Convoy of Hope, we are meeting people at the point of their need, in the moments when they need help most. Convoy of Hope has responded to hundreds of disasters in the United States and around the world, providing food, water, and critical supplies to people who have lost everything. Each year, in more than 50 cities, Convoy of Hope provides help and hope to families who are struggling just to make ends meet. and more than 100,000 children in 7 different countries wake up each morning knowing that a nutritious meal waits for them at school. Kids who deserve an education and a chance to dream, because they are the future of their nations. The need is big, but together we can do this. Now more than ever, we are determined to make sure that everyone has something good to eat. Join us.
God has no plan B. He believes that we are going to use our corner to feed hungry kids. I want you to picture this. You're seated in your living room, you're watching TV, and all of a sudden, there's breaking news that 30 jumbo jets have crashed, killing 5,700 people. You would be shocked, you would be saddened, the news would fill tomorrow's headlines. Well, 30 jumbo jets probably won't crash today. But the number of kids that will die today because they lack clean, safe water is equivalent to every one of these planes crashing. Think about it. 5,700 children dying every day because they lack clean, safe water. If you add the number of children that will die this week because they lack clean water and nutritious food, it will fill the largest stadium in America, which is the University of Michigan, which has a seating capacity of 107,000. Think about it. The number of children that will die this week because they do not have clean water and nutritious food is equivalent to filling that stadium 2 times. Your corner, it's so valuable. It's desperately needed because every one of those seats represents a child with a face, a name, a personality, a dream, and a soul. But the good news is this. There is a movement of generosity that is sweeping this nation like no time before. And it comes down to a 3-letter word, and I want you to repeat this word after me, sow. S-O-W. It represents who God has called us to leave our corner for, but also why. We leave our corner, first of all, because it is strategic. It is strategic. The Apostle Paul, we read, traveled throughout Asia Minor collecting offerings to feed the hungry in Jerusalem. While he traveled through that region, he also was planting churches. That's amazing. It was through compassion and generosity the churches were planted and expanded. You and I are part of the generosity, the compassion of those people thousands of years ago. It was strategic then. It's strategic now. I think about Cuba. I received a phone call from the White House and they said, "How did Convoy of Hope get into Cuba?" And we began to help people on the other side of the island that were living not on banana peels, but banana peels. And through working through the local churches, it opened the door for Jesus to walk through. Right now, we are in a 50-city tour outreach. Some of you participated in the outreach in Fort Collins after the fires, where we provide food, medical screening, job fairs. It's incredible how many people are being helped, how many volunteers are being mobilized, and how many people are finding Jesus in a job. And then you look at the nation of Haiti. When that island was shook by that earthquake, Convoy of Hope was already there. We were feeding 10,000 kids every day. And as I participated in the feeding program, I looked to my right and I saw this young boy peering through the fence. And I walked over to him and I asked, "How long has it been since you've eaten anything?" And he put up two fingers. It had been 2 days since he had eaten any food. And then this earthquake happened. This earthquake that took the lives of 220,000. It left 1 million homeless. But Convoy of Hope was already there. We were expanding our capacity. And because we were already there with our warehouses and trucks and team, we were able to save thousands upon thousands of lives. But pastors like yours said, "That's still not good enough. We can do more." And I'd like for Rick Zarecki, who is my assistant, who has taken many groups to Haiti, to share with you the latest on what's happening there.
Thank you, Dave. First, thank you. I didn't get the memo that this was not a suit church. But I'm pretty comfortable. You don't wear a lot of suits in Haiti or some of the other countries we're in.
Pastor George asked him, was there a funeral he was going to be doing later in the day? So
I might have a prophetic word later. Don't get scared. Haiti. We're doing some amazing things in Haiti. Now, Haiti's one of 9 countries we're partnering, feeding over 125,000 kids a day. It's amazing. In Haiti alone, now we're feeding 60,000 kids a day, partnering with 300 schools and orphanages. Our warehouse, we just built a 36,000 square foot warehouse, which is going to become a Caribbean distribution center. Haiti is a place where we're working with people, not for people. Disaster response, as you know, that's life and death. You have to do things for people. But when you're doing programs and projects, you want them to lead towards sustainability so they can take care of themselves. As Dave said, with, that four-letter word, with. One of the things we're doing in Haiti is working with the farmers and helping them with their agriculture. It was a country where they actually lost a generation of farming knowledge due to all the handouts. So in a short period of time, we've helped them increase their yield. Actually, in 1 year's time, we've helped them increase their yield 5 times, which is incredible. Rice, they're growing rice. And we are only one of 4 organizations that are actually buying product back from the Haitians. And we're buying back 8 to 12 metric tons of rice a month from the Haitians. That's about 10,000 meals a day. And it's amazing. They went from, what can you do for me, to look what we're doing for ourselves. It's incredible. And one of the things I want to mention is with Convoy of Hope, 90% of what we take in goes back out to human need. Over 90%. And that's been consistent for over 7 years, which just is amazing to me, the volunteer base. We have 125 full-time employees, but we had over 40,000 people volunteer through Convoy of Hope. So through generous people like you, we're making an impact. Not only are we helping people, but we're instilling hope so they might know Jesus Christ. So thank you and God bless you.
Thank you, Rick. And most importantly, the gospel, the good news is going forth. Because Jesus said, "I came to preach good news to the poor, and I can take you to places in Haiti where these voodoo temples once stood, these voodoo temples that teach witchcraft, that dehumanize women. But when that earthquake shook the island, those voodoo temples collapsed to their ground. And today, in their very place, we have houses of worship. Praise the Lord. Revival's happening there. Praise the Lord. It's strategic. But it's also out of obedience. This is not guilt trip giving or manipulation. The Bible says to give out of a heart of thanksgiving. And that's what this one-day offering is. And you see, generosity, which is a wonderful word. If you trace it, it means generosus or an ancestry of giving. And our generosity, our generosus, that goes all the way back to our Creator. And so you don't need to go out and try to find generosity. It's already in you, waiting to just explode. Amazingly also is that God designed us to be dependent on generosity. Think about it. The first 9 months of your life, you were in your mother's womb dependent on her generosity. For the first 4 to 5 years of your life, you were dependent on generosity and protection. And many of us at the end of our lives are going to be dependent on generosity. Why did God design us that way? He could have just said you're going to be born at 18 years of age. I believe it's because he wants us to remember that we were dependent on generosity. And right now, there are millions that are dependent on our generosity to live and also to thrive. Generosity. And it moves me. I've now worked in 87 countries. And as I've traveled around this globe, I see that some of the poorest of the poor are the most generous. Like the Mizo people. Very poor people. But per capita, they're the most generous. How do they do it? Well, when they sit down to eat, they take that rice, a handful of rice, they put it in buckets. They collect all the buckets around the city. They sell all of the rice, and all the proceeds go to helping the poor and supporting 1,700 missionaries full-time. And today, some of us are going to give out of abundance, individually or our company, but some of us will give out of need. And I was sharing with your pastor, I truly believe that part of God's blessing on my family and upon Convoy of Hope goes back to my mom, who did not give out of abundance. She gave out of need, and God multiplied it. And you see, that's what happens. When we are generous, God moves into this multitasking mode, and he blesses everything and everybody involved if we're obedient. And finally, it's the way. It's the way that God wants to bless us individually, but also collectively as a church. You see, the world's economic system says to you and me that if you give 10% faithfully to your local church as a tithe, you only have 90% left. That's what the world says. The world's economic system says if you give another 10% or one day's wages for one day to help the poor, now you only have, let's say, 80% left to help your own family and to meet your own needs. That's what the world says. But how many know that God has his own economic system? He has his own stimulus plan, and it's fiscal cliff proof. And that's what Scripture says. He says, if you're generous, if you will just trust me, what I will do is that I will take the remaining 80%, 70%, and I will cause it to exceed the 100%. And I will do that by enlarging your harvest field. I believe that God is enlarging the harvest field of John McIntyre and his galleries in an amazing way, because this is a generous man. Yep. And I'm seeing it with business people. I've had so many over the weekend that have come up to me and they said, you know, I'm grateful for my success, but now God is saying, you need to be more significant. And as somebody said, becoming the richest person in the cemetery, that's no longer good enough. And I'm able, as I mentioned earlier, to stand before you here representing Convoy of Hope and what God is doing because of a family, the Davises. It was about a year ago that we decided we were going to have a celebration of serving 50 million people, and we hosted it in Concord, California, where my dad pastored, but also where he was killed. And so we gathered friends and those that helped us in the early days get Convoy of Hope launched. And it was just a great celebration. It was a reunion. And so we spent most of the evening just giving God the glory for what he's accomplished. But the finale was to honor a family. A family, they thought they were there just to participate in the celebration. But it was the Davises. And I want you to see this photo, because this was taken after the celebration. I'm there with my siblings. To the right, you see Leveda Davis, her daughter's Terry. But I want you to take a good look at the face of Bill Davis, now 80 years of age. Because after this photo was taken, he whispered in my ear this. He said, I never knew my love for your family would result in helping so many people. I never knew. And as we give today, there are going to be children in Haiti. They're going to receive food, clean water, so they're not stricken with cholera. They're going to get an education. Children in El Salvador, throughout Central America, Africa, and now Israel. Thousands of children that are going to be helped. They may never know you. You may never know them. You may never get a thank you letter from them. You may never get a pat on the back. You may never get a phone call saying thank you. They may never know you and what you're about to do. But God knows. God knows. And as we're generous, right now, it's going to bring a big smile to his face. God bless you. Thank you so much.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.